I identify as an addict and an alcoholic. My name is Tarek. Okay. It's good to be here. Thanks for having us. We've done a couple of these for Billy over at Louisville, and I was here a few years ago doing one down here with another friend of mine, so I'm excited to be back. Our intent this weekend, at least one of our intents, is to touch one or two of you with something that will spark a fire inside. I don't think we're here to talk to all of you. We're just here to talk to maybe a few of you. I want to read something to start off with. This little passage called Opportunity. A green bird darting in the night. Will you be able to see it? Will you be able to catch it? Cling to spirit like a shadow. Move without a shadow. Times of oppression and adversity cannot last forever. How is this the transition made to new and better situation? In the midst of great difficulty like addiction, a tiny opportunity will open. If only by chance. You must be sharp enough to discern it, quick enough to catch it, and determined enough to do something with it. If you let it pass, you will be filled with regrets. Stick the spirit like a shadow. Wherever it goes, you go. As soon as it throws something your way, catch it by sheer reflex. It's like the bird. You try to catch it, you miss it. You're always with it, moving at its speed. As much a part of it as its own shadow, then it's easy to catch it. When you act, however, you in turn must have no shadow. In other words, what you do must have no messiness, no leftover consequences. Nothing that will haunt you later. That is one of the ways in which you avoid creating more bad situations for yourself. Your every moment must be traceless. So once again, some of you, this is, I mean, how many of you have been to a place like Bridges or a treatment center or a sober living more than one time? Okay, let the record state that 2/3 of the room just raised their hands. You've been given opportunity after opportunity to do something different. Maybe you've been misinformed. You know, I work in this industry, and I can tell you from personal experience that the secret of long-term recovery, permanent recovery, isn't shared with a lot of people that are spending billions of dollars every year, because it's an industry that's built off keeping us sick. It's a massive industry built off keeping us sick. So why would they share the truth with you? We're going to share the truth with you. If you've been stripped of power, choice, and control over your addiction, you're going to have to work the 12 steps. You're going to have an experience as a result of working the steps. And then you're going to have to sacrifice a great deal of your personal time to show other men how to work the 12 steps. And that will be the key to your recovery. It'll also become the bright spot of your life. But notice the word I emphasize here is self-sacrifice. That's what's going to be required. And if there's a voice in your head right now asking yourself, am I going to have to do that shit for the rest of my life? The answer is yeah. If you want to get clean, stay clean, and die clean, get sober, stay sober, and die sober, yeah. If you fit the description of the alcoholic or the addict that's in the big book, yeah. Lifetime. That's what's required. So what we're going to do this weekend is we're going to attempt, however we do this weekend, to spoon feed you the recovery process in a very short amount of time. You're going to walk away from this weekend, hopefully, if you absorb any of the information, and perhaps even have an experience, knowing everything you have to do moving forward. It won't be hidden from you anymore. But it requires a massive commitment. Brandon and I do not prep for these things. We just see where it goes. We have fun with it. We've done enough of these now, and we have met people that have somehow made their way back into our circles that have said, man, I sat in one of your workshops, and you told me the truth. And I did what you guys said to do, and I'll be damned. I got exactly what you guys told me I was going to get. which was freedom. Right? Not staying clean and sober one miserable day at a time. If you follow a specific course of action, you will have permanent recovery in your life. That's what this whole deal is about. Not one day at a time. Not one miserable day at a time. Groundhog Day over and over and over. One of the things we're going to do, we didn't do it in the first session. We're going to have a prayer that we're going to start using at the beginning of every session of the wall. The What Any Length Looks Like Big Book Experience. That's the name we've used, or I guess coined, but we haven't paid any money for this workshop. And the prayer we're going to use is right there. Because God knows if you've been to treatment more than one time, you've got a lot of old experiences. My late grand sponsor said there's a noose around your neck. The longer you're in recovery and actually working the steps, the noose around your neck is everything you think you know. Because everything you think you know will block you from accepting anything new and perhaps having a new experience with something new. Another one of my teachers says after 40 years of working steps every single year, working the first 9 steps, he's appalled by how many things he's had to change his mind about. Experience tends to do that. It alters beliefs. It changes perspectives. And we're hoping this weekend we share enough of our personal experience with the mechanics of working the steps that perhaps changes the way you look at things. We're not here to give you knowledge about the big book. What Brandon and I are going to sit up here and do is share our experience with the mechanics, and we're also going to tell some stories. And hopefully through the stories, it's going to illustrate the capacity that this book can bring into your life. This book is limitless with what it can do. The divinity of the 12 steps, every single one of those is a spiritual principle. I don't spend a lot of time working with those one-word spiritual principles behind the steps, because what ends up happening is people come into the rooms and they work those one-word principles behind the steps, and they forget to work the steps. The steps are the principles. And that's what we want to share with you. We're also going to start every session with 2 minutes of meditation, silence, just to be present, to be here, to quiet the mind. Because meditation is an important part of my recovery as well as Brandon's, and it's talked about in our big book. So we're gonna have you guys join us in a few minutes of silence before each session. We're each going to tell our story. Brandon's going to tell his story this evening. I'm going to tell my story tomorrow night. I'm going to tell a little bit of it right now. I've bounced in and out of treatment centers and sober living. I've been to treatment twice. I've been in 2 sober living programs, and I've been in a halfway house. And I was incarcerated, which I consider probably another treatment center. And every time I came into one of those programs on day one, I was extremely willing. By day 15, I've now started to eat. I put some weight on. I feel better. I've been going to the gym and working out, and I go to all the groups at the treatment center or the IOP, whatever it is. And then they say, you need to get a job. So by day 30, I'm pumped. I got a job. By day 45, I get my first paycheck. I've got some money. I've been hitting on some girls at the meetings because that's the only step I really worked, right, was the 13th step. I didn't do anything with the first 12 steps. I was one of the guys that walked into the clubhouse, walked out the back door to smoke cigarettes and see what girls were out there. All right. And so I would think I was in recovery, though. I'm sober. I'm clean. I have a job. Girls talking to me. I'm going to meetings. And I'm trying to practice the one-word principles behind the steps. But I haven't worked any steps. Then life throws a curveball at me. And I require an anesthetic to cope with that curveball. Start eating Valium. Maybe smoking some pot. Drinking some beer, and then I'm smoking crack, I'm doing 80 milligram Oxycontins, I'm smoking DMT, whatever that run used to look like for me, and they all look different, but that was my MO, I had no foundation in recovery to cope with the curveball that life throws. The Big Book calls it trials and low spots, right? And nobody really drove it home with me, this thing about being a sponsor. And so after I was incarcerated, I will never forget sitting across the table from a guy I was sponsoring. I can't tell you which guy he was, first, second, third. He was early on, probably in the first three or four. And I remember sitting across the table with him, and he had a week clean, and I think I had between 4 and 5 months clean because I went through the steps pretty quickly. And it reminded me of what a week was like. And something in me said, I'm willing to do whatever I have to do to never have a week clean ever again. And I'm, you know, God willing and the creek don't rise, I'm going to have 10 years next Sunday by the grace of God. 10 years without a crack pipe in my mouth. And I'm a crack, I mean, crack cocaine demoralized me. Crack cocaine is my master. I did a lot of heroin and Oxycontin, but they didn't strip me of my manhood, strip me of my relationships, strip me of my home. They didn't cause me to file bankruptcy. They didn't cause me to lie, steal, cheat. Crack cocaine did that. That's why I call crack cocaine my master. And so through sponsorship, I discovered a way to stay connected to my first step in conjunction with being a guy that works the first 9 steps on a regular basis. I do it because I like the effect produced by it. So one of the things Brandon and I want to do this weekend is excite you about sponsorship. Give you as much as we can about what it means to be an effective sponsor. Because through sponsorship, you will be able to tap into something that can truly protect you from those certain times that your mind is going to tell you, you know what it looks like. You know what the day looks like when you're going to stick that needle in your arm. You know what the day looks like when you're going to drink that bourbon. You know what the day looks like when you're going to smoke that crack pipe or that meth pipe. You don't. I don't. But active work and sponsorship, it completes the circle. It completes the circle. They tell you the newcomer is the most important person in the room. That's half true. If the newcomer is the lifeblood of our program and our fellowships, that blood needs a heart to pump through. And that heart is the members that are actively working a 12-step to complete the circle. So one of the things we're going to encourage that you reflect on over the course of this weekend, do you have a desire to help other people? Because I think ultimately that's what humans are here for. We're here to help each other. But we lose sight of that because we're so self-consumed. And the addict and alcoholic is self-will run riot. Not just self-will. We're not even just self-will. We're an extreme example of self-will run riot. We think about ourselves all the time. That's all we do. Somebody in this room hasn't heard a word I fucking said. Because all you're thinking about is you. And what you got to do.
Do I really have to listen to this guy the whole weekend?
The individuals that I see succeed very often are the ones that don't have a plan. If your mind's telling you know exactly what you're going to do from here on out to keep yourself sober, have at it. I run a program. The guys that walk into my program that have a plan, I pretty much know they're going to fail. But the guys that come into my program, they're like, man, I don't know what to do. I need somebody to tell me what to do. I'm like, yes, come here. Welcome home. So I think that's all I'm going to say here in this opening. Just giving you a little brief snapshot into what Brandon and I would like to do this weekend with all of you. Because the addiction is a time of oppression and adversity. And you have an opportunity. But that opportunity is a sliver. Because that grace you've been afforded by being here at the bridges, if you don't do anything with it, it's going to evaporate. The window of grace will shut. And then maybe the universe has a plan to bring you back. I don't know. I really don't. But why risk it? Seize the opportunity now. Those of you that have been to places like this more than once, aren't you sick and tired of it? Is it unacceptable? That's another thing I'm going to talk a lot about this weekend, is unacceptance. Not acceptance, unacceptance. Because when things are unacceptable, you become willing to do some shit. As long as they're acceptable, you ain't going to do shit. All right. That's all I got.
I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm also a member of Cocaine Anonymous. I identify as an alcoholic. My name is Brandon. We'll talk about... we'll spend some time talking about that later on, about the importance of knowing what you got. Eric told you that what he identified as when he opened it. I'll tell you what I identify as. A lot of people in here that think that alcoholism and drug addiction are the same thing. They're not. They're treated the same way. We've got a 12-step program that gets us to the same place, but they're completely different. Absolutely completely different. A crackhead from a heroin addict, completely different. Suffer from some of the same stuff. What do you have? Because there's a lot of people that think that because I've done drugs, I'm an addict. Does everybody that drinks beer become an alcoholic? Then how can everybody that does drugs be an addict? Something different there. But yet we don't spend any time looking at that. I'm compelled to read this, and I feel like I'm going to read it on the last day too, because I bet that for most of you this will make no sense. And I want to read it on the last day and see if it makes any sense to any of you. I am conscious of all good in me. And what you'll find Tarek and I, because we don't have a script that we follow, we're going to pull stuff from all sorts of different books and read it when we feel compelled to do so. We may go on tangents and down a rabbit hole of something that we didn't intend at all. I'll say this before I get started reading this, that we don't know what you need for your spirit to perfect itself this weekend. We don't know. We have a general idea of the information we want to cover. Some of you will speak to us in words. Some of you will speak to us in body language. Some of you will send us some little energy information that we don't know that we're receiving, or we may know. Really, the best way for us to know what you guys need is for you to come up and ask us. Because that doesn't get misinterpreted at all. If we say something and it pisses you off, come talk to us. Because if it pissed you off, it's probably firing off something within you that you need an answer to. If we say something that disturbed you about alcoholism and drug addiction, come talk to us. If we say something that makes you want to run up here and punch us in the face, please, please come talk to us. Because that is something within you giving you a signal that, hey, we need to pay attention to this. Now, it comes across in rage and anger and all sorts of funny things, but it's something within you. It's your spirit telling you, we need to spend some time here. I believe that if somebody were to ask me to just summarize life in general, what's life about? It's about two things. Well, it's about experiencing something, and it's about two options with that experience. You can either reject the experience and get it again, and then reject it and get it again, and reject it and get it again. That's one option. Well, the other option is to take the experience, look at it, say, what can I learn from this? And then the next time you get that exact same experience, you move beyond it because you've already mastered that experience. And I think that if I were to sum up life, that's it.
If you take everything that you encounter in life and boil it down into that, it's two options. Reject or learn from it and move beyond it. So, back to this reading. I am consciousness of all good in me. I hold conscious communion with spirit. In the hand claps, I can feel its warmth. In the exchange of thought, I feel the presence of the divine. I sense it in everything. It flows in transcendent loveliness into my world of thought and form, ever renewing, vitalizing, bringing joy, harmony, and blessings to everything and everyone it touches. I'm united with all. I am one with the eternal light itself. The presence of spirit within me blesses everyone I meet, heals everything I touch, brings gladness into the life of everyone I contact. I recognize all sources as divine. Therefore, I am a blessing to myself, to humankind, and to the day in which I live. Today I uncover the perfection within me. I look out upon the world of my affairs, knowing that the spirit within me makes my way both immediate and easy. I know there is nothing in me that can possibly obstruct or withhold the divine circuit of life and love. God flows through me to all. God harmonizes my mind. So that love sings joyously in my heart. I am completely conscious of all good in me, around me, and in all that is. So, that may have just sounded like a bunch of words. I read that today, and I know exactly what it's saying. The fact that you were even able to listen to it means that within you there's something that understands what it was that I just read. I also want to read you. Tarek sent out on Facebook, he sent a thing that he was traveling with me down to Chauncey, chopping wood, carrying water, hope to be used to light some fires, feeling blessed and privileged, the truth, the light, the way. And Bill Brown, of course, over at Bridges of Hope in Louisville. We've been over there a couple times, so he was like, nice, have a great weekend. And then this one guy posts, hope a seed gets planted in one of those guys like y'all were able to do for me. Second guy, I too, Yates. He was replying saying that he also had the thing. We did one of these. It was in June 16th of 2016. Much like the room I'm staring at now, there's a bunch of guys falling asleep. There's some paying attention. There's some guys that are staring through me, looking at me, but not looking at me. They're like, by the end of the weekend, they'll tell you everything that's right here. We saw a guy, there was a guy that stared at a spot on the wall in front of him. I don't know how you guys set it up, but the way that they do it there is the newest guy, when we were over there, we set up on that side of the room, and the newest guy sits right here, and then they kind of weave their way back, newest guy, the oldest guy, and he was in the front row, so he was about the seventh newest guy, and he stared at the spot on the wall the entire weekend. And I'm confident if somebody asked that guy if he knew how to meditate, he would have said no. But he was meditating on that freaking spot on that wall for the entire weekend. And it was fun to watch. Because he was so resistant to the possibility that we might have a piece of information that was perhaps useful. He was just not going to listen. Well, what I know is that he still had to listen because he was in the room, captive audience, much like you guys are, that he, something got installed, at least in an unconscious level, that maybe disturbed him enough about whatever his extracurricular activities were, that at some point in time, taking a hit, drinking a drink, whatever, the thought of Tarek and I came into his head. He's just like, fuck those guys. And by the fact that I'm telling you the story, when whoever in here decides that they don't want to do this anymore and they go out, they're gonna, you're going to be thinking you're enjoying your drunk or your high, and you're going to go, oh. It's like that picture of that guy that you saw in the gym that you don't want to see. We're going to be like that in your mind, and you're going to hate us even more during those moments than you do right now. And that's awesome, because then we did something. We accomplished something. So anyway, we went to Louisville and we did this thing, and it's interesting because there, you will get questions from people, and there will be people that will ask, we will get questions from people, and there will be people that ask questions because the right answer kind of people. They want to know what the right answer is. And they're going to take really good notes. And they're going to sound really good when they repeat what we say to other people. And they're going to walk out of here, and they're not going to stay sober for shit because they did not experience it. They got a ton of information, but they didn't experience it. And then there's people that ask questions because they're like, you said this and this doesn't make sense to me. And then we spend some time and we talk through it and we get to the point where it makes sense to them, and then they start to apply it in their life. And then there's going to be the most of you, which are going to not pay any attention or somewhat attention, or if I close my eyes, will they really notice that I've got my eyes closed? I mean, if I keep kind of squinting, maybe they'll not see that my eyes are really closed. And that's cool. And you're not disrespecting us, and that's what you're supposed to get out of this experience, because maybe you're not done. Maybe there's some more experience to reject and get to do over again. Again. And again. And again. I always love the experience of the week, Jim. The week or so before we do one of these, I love to watch kind of what the universe brings into my life that may turn into a story. And there's a guy that's at Tarek's program right now that I sponsored in the past. And usually when I sponsor a guy, I've got a pretty good idea almost out of the gate whether or not he's got a chance of making it or not. The full of shit meter within me can tell, man, this guy's just got it. But when he would do all of his assignments, he would really do all of his assignments. He would really do everything. And I threatened to fire him one time, and then he did some stuff. But it was like this knowing the entire time that I'm taking him through the steps that he's not really going to stay sober. And so he leaves, goes back to Massachusetts, makes it 6 months. As I talk to him on the phone, the insanity is starting to build. I can hear it. The craziness. The trying to control my life, trying to manage everything, working his plan, and then relapse. And then it's not so bad. And then we make it a week, make it a month, make it 3 days, make it 2 days. And then it's like he won't admit defeat. So he finally goes down to another place in Florida. 28-day program, going to dry him out. That's all he needs. He just needs to dry out.
$30,000.
$30,000, 28 days. If you do the math, that's a little over $1,000 a day. Just 28, 30. And so the hurricane hits, right? So they go to a hotel, and they lose power in the hurricane, or in the hotel. And all the other residents, they're doing drugs, they're drinking, they're fornicating, they're doing all, and he's got his treatment center hat on, and he's good. He's doing really good while he's at the treatment center. Because he has a stage character that is treatment center guy. That follows the rules. Does all of his chores. Doesn't argue. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everything. He's got that stage character. Finishes the program. Goes home. Nothing happens. He's drunk. Most people would look at that and say, well, that sucks. But what happened for this guy is he realized he's fucked. There's nothing he can do by himself to stay sober. There's nothing he can do by himself that can make him get sober. Lots of money, lots of time, lots of pain. Maybe what some of you are experiencing. But over the last 2 days, I've been listening to a book on tape, and this guy, he's a big sales guy. He's real abrasive. But he has this whole chapter in this book that I'm listening to on commitment. Anybody in here know anything about, like, basketball? Golf, Tiger Woods, somebody like that. I don't know. Who else? Wayne Gretzky, greatest of all time. Tom Brady's pretty good, right? Yes. And who are some other people? Throw some out that are like at the LeBron James, like at the top of their game. Federer. Right, Roger Federer. Any others? NASCAR fans out here? Anybody? Yeah, Jimmy Johnson. Bernard. All right, so these guys. You think these guys just kind of show up at the gym every day and just listen to the coach talk? And then say, got it, and go home, do nothing. Maybe watch them film, or they try to scope out the course or the conditions, or you think they just, I got this, man. So, you know what the difference between a professional and an amateur is? Professional just dedicates his life to what he's doing. An amateur thinks he's doing it for fun, but really kind of doesn't even do it very well. So, Tarek and I have pretty much dedicated our life to understanding the inner workings of the steps, trying to understand how they apply to our life, trying to understand how they apply in others. We have some wins, we have some losses. But there's always progress because we're constantly working towards something. Now, we don't get paid for it, so we're not professionals. But if you look at our level of commitment to what we're doing versus what maybe some of you have done, oh yeah, we're professionals. Because best I can tell, we're not sitting in a room listening to you guys talk about how you've done what you've done. Now, you're forced to sit here and listen to us. But do we practice perfection or do we just practice mediocrity? Are we sitting in a treatment center trying to find a new way of life and we're slumped over in our chair and we're not really doing our homework assignments? Hell, maybe we're wearing t-shirts that even reference the thing that we're trying to avoid. And we think it's pretty cool, right? But what kind of commitment is that to a new way of life? Or is that still being proud of the way that you've done, the way that you've been? We're going to ask a lot of questions over the course of this weekend. And we're going to bust up a bunch of the myths that as we see them. Anybody in here attended meetings on the outside? Only half the room? Okay. Has anybody ever heard something like acceptance is the answer to all my problems? Do you believe it? What about Media Makers Make It? Heard that one? Who in here thinks that working steps 1 through 9 one time and using 10, 11, and 12 to stay sober is how you're supposed to do this? Now, I already hinted at this one, but answer it honestly. Who thinks that alcoholism and drug addiction is the same? Got a whole right answer room here, I guess. Who in here believes that you can be recovered or that you will always be recovered? Who thinks you can be recovered? Who thinks you'll always be recovering? Okay. Thank you for your honesty. Who thinks that you can think the drink or the drug through at some point in time? Okay. Who in here that believes that alcohol and drugs, as alcohol and drugs are concerned, is a choice? Is the desire to who in here believes that the desire to stay clean and sober is the only requirement that you need? Who believes there's a such thing as living amends? We're going to challenge the concept of service. Who in here knows what their God looks like or has God figured out? Really? Good. First time we've never gotten a hand on. Who thinks that they can remove their defect, character defects? Who in here thinks they know what their problem is? Maybe drugs and alcohol? We're going to challenge whether or not this is a two-part problem or a three-part problem that we deal with, and we'll explain what that means. Who thinks that they can stay clean and sober one day at a time? Who thinks that there are things called triggers? Who in here thinks that if I have the right relapse prevention program that I can stay sober? We're going to challenge the concept of what the program is. Who knows where AA's promises show up? The promises that they read in the meeting? Who thinks that they need a family, job, car, phone before they can focus on recovery? Thank you. Who thinks that keep coming back really works? Who thinks that you need a year before you can sponsor somebody? Who thinks that just by showing up at a treatment center or a meeting, you've worked the first step? Okay. These are some things that we're going to challenge. Now, we're going to look at all these from our current mindset and maybe challenge yours. We're not saying ours is right. We're not saying yours is wrong. But we want to start the dialogue. We want to explore that to see if maybe, just maybe, the perspective that we're offering and the perspective that you have, maybe there's a possibility that a shift could happen, and if that happens, then something can change. So, we're right up at, we're at about 5 till, we're going to take a break for dinner, and make sure that you guys eat a ton so that you, it's really, really hard to stay awake. And that your blood goes into your belly to digest all your food, and it makes you really nappy. Or try to not gorge yourself so that you can at least pay somewhat attention to what we're saying. If you want. Or take a nap. Either way. It's up to you. So, we'll take a break now. Who do we flip this to when we're at a break? Which one of you guys is in charge? All right, so anybody back there, tell them what to do.
You guys go ahead and line up.